Numbers chapter 12. In just a moment, we'll be reading verses 1 through 12. We're continuing our series, Wilderness Attitudes, and we're looking today at a message titled, The Danger of Criticism, The Danger of Criticism. You know, the outcome of the 2015 Super Bowl between the Seahawks and Patriots came down to the very last seconds. The Seahawks had the ball on the 1 yard line, the 1 yard line. It seemed that the Seahawks were on the brink of a second in a row Super Bowl win. And in that crucial moment, the Seahawks coach made the now infamous call to pass the ball rather than to run the final yard into the end zone. Well, the Patriots intercepted and the Seahawks lost 28-24. After the game, the Seahawks coach Carroll took a lot of criticism. Some people saying that it was the worst call in NFL history. Well, Coach Carroll responded saying, it was a split-second decision based in the moment on what he thought was best. Then he said something very interesting, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was a truth, a very important truth. He said, it could have gone either way. It could have been successful. It could have gone either way. And then he said, of course, if we had made the touchdown, we wouldn't be here talking about this now. You see, it's easy to sit on the sidelines and criticize when you are not the one on the field having to call or to run the plays. And this is true not only about football, but it's true about life as well. But the problem is that criticism comes naturally to us. We don't have to learn to be critical. It seems to somehow be inherent in our sinful nature. In fact, it's even ingrained in our culture. We have movie critics, restaurant critics, political critics, sports critics. And though not an official role, we also have church critics. People who feel that it is their spiritual gift. Well, you won't find it in scripture, but they think it's their spiritual gift. To find fault with the service, with the sermon, with the pastor, with the leaders, with church decisions, and with other believers. Truth be told, we say amen, but we have probably all been guilty at some time. This is where we say, oh me. But some are more prone to be critical than others. Perhaps because they grew up in a home where the faults of others were continually pointed out and everyone was being constantly criticized. When you grow up with a lot of criticism, you tend to become critical as an adult. Some people have a critical spirit, a pattern of thinking that they've developed over time that takes a decidedly negative perspective, focusing on the real or perceived faults, and many times it's perceived, the real or perceived faults of others with no intent to help them. Israel had certainly developed a critical spirit, and it is one of the attitudes that prevented them from entering into the promised land, the future, the blessed future that God had for them. And it is that critical spirit that kept them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, where they suffered much hardship and difficulty that was unnecessary. And that entire generation that God delivered out of Egypt ended up dying in the wilderness because of several attitudes that we can identify throughout the book of Numbers, one of which is a critical spirit. And we see an incident where that critical spirit is manifested in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Miriam and Aaron, those were Moses' brother and sister, but they were also spiritual leaders in Israel. Miriam was a prophetess and a worship leader in Israel. And Aaron was a high priest. And their brother is Moses, who is the leader and deliverer of Israel. So it says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. What is that criticism? They began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. There's some prejudice coming up here. Can't you see it? Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? There's some jealousy coming up here. Can you see it? And the Lord heard this, And the Lord heard that. Did you notice that several of these passages where they're complaining and where they're, it says the Lord heard it? Folks, we got to get back to that realization that God hears everything that comes out of our mouth. And there's a lot of stuff that comes out of our mouth that he is not happy with. So the scripture says, and the Lord heard this. Verse 3, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. That's kind of like being called to the principal's office when you're a kid. Yeah. God is saying, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. So here's Aaron, Miriam, and Moses all standing there in a row. And then he says, Aaron and Miriam, step forward. I want to talk to you. Ooh, that's when you should start trembling, huh? He summons Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is more faithful than anyone else in all of my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Now, leprosy was a deadly disease. It was incurable. And it was a disfiguring disease that ate away the skin of a person. And ultimately, it would be a terminal disease. It would end in death. So it says it became as white as snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. Now, as we look at this passage of scripture, we need to understand Moses, who God was using mightily to bring deliverance to Israel, is being verbally attacked, being criticized by Miriam, his sister, and Aaron, his brother. Now, not only are they family, but they are also leaders in Israel. But I want you to notice, when we get close to somebody, familiarity can breed contempt. We can lose respect for the person, not because of anything that they've done, but just because we think that because we're close to them, we can say or do anything that we want. And so their familiarity with Moses is the anointed of God. He is the leader of God's people. But their familiarity with Moses, they thought gave them license to do or say whatever they wanted. Miriam was a prophetess, the worship leader of Israel, who led Israel in praise after the great victory at the Red Sea. Remember the victory at the Red Sea when God had opened the waters and Israel crossed on dry ground, and then Pharaoh's army coming in behind trying to recapture them got in the middle of the Red Sea, and God closed the waters in and they all drowned. Well, when Israel saw them all drown, Miriam started to lead Israel in a praise service, worshiping God and praising God for this great victory. So she was a worship leader and a prophetess in Israel. And Aaron, as I said, was the high priest. And in verse 1, it says that the criticism began with Miriam and Aaron. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. This is a critical spirit. Miriam's criticism not only led her and Aaron into sin, but it also affected all of Israel, delaying the entire nation's progress and journey to the promised land. I want you to know that when you have a critical spirit always looks to voice itself. And when it voices itself, it infects the souls of others. And you're going to be responsible for negatively impacting the spiritual relationship of others. And not only so, here's a warning for us. When you listen to criticism, you are jeopardizing your relationship with God. It's a very serious lesson that this teaches us in this passage of scripture. So Miriam's criticism not only led her brother Aaron into sin, it infected his soul, but it also affected all of Israel because it delayed their journey. It delayed them from moving forward in God's will for their lives. And it infected all of Israel with a critical spirit as well, which that critical spirit repeatedly brought judgment upon Israel and kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. So a critical spirit is a dangerous spiritual attitude that brings serious consequences upon our lives. Now, complaining and criticizing are both sin, but they are different. Complaining generally focuses on discontent with our circumstances. We complain that it is too cold in here. We complain that it is too hot outside. We complain that it rained yesterday. We're complaining about our circumstances. But criticism focuses on the real or perceived defects in other people. So complaining focuses on circumstances. Criticism generally focuses on people. Now today we want to consider this story in Numbers chapter 12 to help us recognize a critical spirit when it comes into our own hearts and to know how to respond to criticism when we do receive it and realize the seriousness of criticism and ask God to change us and give us instead a heart of love towards others. The first thing I want us to look at is the impact of a critical spirit. We're looking again at verse 1 where it says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. So let's look at the influence of a critical spirit. It all started with one person. All it takes is just one critical person. Her name was Miriam. And the verb talk, when it says that Miriam and Aaron began to talk, the verb talk is in the feminine singular. Now, I know that if English is our only language, that might not make a whole lot of sense to us because our words do not have gender. But in foreign languages, they do. For instance, in Spanish, words have gender. And if you're speaking about a girl or a boy, there's a different ending that indicates whether it's masculine or it's feminine. And in the Hebrew, likewise, there are masculine and feminine gender forms of verbs and various words. So in this case, it is a feminine singular. So it really means that Miriam began to talk to Aaron against Moses. She initiated the criticism. This also explains why Miriam was struck with leprosy and not Aaron, because she was the instigator. Apparently, Aaron was somewhat weak-willed, and he kind of just got sucked into her critical spirit. Now, Aaron, as I said, was the high priest. Miriam was a prophetess and worship leader. And what this indicates to us is that no matter how long you have served the Lord or what position or title you hold in the church, you can easily get sucked into a critical spirit. In fact, sometimes more so when you have a position, because you begin to think that you have an entitlement to speak out. Hallelujah. So we've got to guard our hearts with diligence so that we don't get develop a critical spirit, or that we don't get influenced by a critical spirit. So we see the influence of a critical spirit. Miriam influenced Aaron. Let's look at the infectious nature of a critical spirit. Verse 1 implies that they were not just talking to each other, but they were talking against Moses to others. They're gossiping, they're slandering Moses regarding his choice of a wife. It started with Miriam and then Aaron, and it began to spread like a deadly virus throughout the camp of Israel. Within 40 days, her critical spirit had infected all of Israel. By the time we get to Numbers chapter 14, just two chapters later, it's actually just 40 days later, her critical spirit has infected all of Israel. When the spies go into the promised land and they bring back a negative report saying the land is beautiful, it's everything God said it is, but we are unable to take the land because it's filled with giants and with walled cities. And the people began to weep aloud, and they began to say, we're going to die in this wilderness. Why did you bring us out here in this wilderness? And they're complaining about their circumstance, quickly turn to criticism about their leaders. Because when we don't like our circumstance, we generally look for somebody to blame. How many of you know about that? So complaining can quickly turn to criticism. And that's exactly what happened in Numbers 14. In Numbers 14, 2, it says that all the Israelites began to grumble against Moses and Aaron. So first they're complaining about their circumstance. We can't take the promised land. We're going to die out here in the wilderness. Now they start blaming their leaders. They start grumbling against Moses and Aaron. In verse 4, it says they are feeding the criticism into one another. And now they want to remove Moses as their pastor, as their leader, and they want to choose a new leader who will take them where they want to go, which is now back to Egypt, the very place that they had been crying out to God to deliver them from because of their slavery. And now they say, we want to go back to Egypt. But this critical spirit has moved from just talking against Moses to wanting to act against Moses. And then in Numbers 14:10, the criticism begins to intensify to the point that they want to stone Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. So now you're getting some very destructive action as a result of a critical spirit. And that's when God showed up in Numbers 14 in judgment, telling them that because of their actions, that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember, it was only supposed to take them 3 weeks from Egypt to the promised land. Now God says, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. A journey that should have only taken 3 weeks ends up taking 40 years. And the whole generation that got delivered out of Egypt, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, the only two men that stood in faith with Moses, that they were allowed to go into the promised land. But the rest of the entire generation that came up out of Egypt died in the wilderness as a result. And it came from a complaining and a critical spirit. A critical spirit is infectious. It reminds me of the story of a woman who had a critical spirit, and she was gossiping about her pastor. She was spreading criticism about her pastor. Now, after some time, she and her family went through a difficulty, and the pastor, the very one that she had just cut to pieces with her words, came and ministered to her and to her family. Well, as a result, she came under conviction of all the bad things that she had been saying about him. So a short while later, she went to the pastor and she confessed what she had done, and she repented and she asked him for forgiveness. And she said, what can I do, pastor, to make this right? And the pastor said, well, I'll ask you just to do one thing. He said, I want you to take a feather pillow and I want you to go to the hill outside of town. Take a pair of scissors with you, cut the feather pillow open, and then take clumps of the feathers and just throw them up into the air and let the wind catch them where they will. And then come back to me and ask me what you should do next. She said, sure, pastor, anything. I'm so sorry. I'll do anything. So she did as the pastor asked. She took a feather pillow. She went to the hill outside of town, cut it open with a pair of scissors, and just took handfuls of the feathers and threw them up into the air. And the wind would catch the feathers and carry them every which way. Well, after she had done that, she came back to the pastor and she said, pastor, I've done what you asked me to do. I'm here for the next step. And he said, okay, this is the last thing I asked you to do. Now just go and collect the feathers from wherever they have gone. She looked at him and she said, pastor, that's impossible. And he said, you're right. He said, that's my point. He says, once you have sown criticism, there is no way, no matter how much you're sorry for it, no matter how much you ask forgiveness for it, there's no way that you can go back and undo the damage that you have done. That's a powerful illustration, folks, of the damage of criticism. And you don't know where the wind will carry that criticism. You tell it to one person, they tell it to somebody else, they tell it to somebody else. How can you ever go back and retrieve the words that were spoken? So, warning against criticism. Criticism is infectious and it spreads fast and far. And even after you may find out that what you were saying was wrong or that your attitude was wrong, you may repent of it, you may ask forgiveness, but there is no way you can go back and undo the damage. Even though Miriam eventually repented, the damage of a critical spirit had already been sown into Israel's heart. We need to be careful of the words of criticism that we speak. The second thing I want us to look at is the implication of a critical spirit. Our criticism of others is often unfounded. It is often unfounded. Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses for his choice of a wife, because his choice of a wife crossed racial, cultural, and color lines. And yet we know that God approved of his marriage, because when they criticized Moses, whose side did God take? Hello? God took Moses' side against Miriam and Aaron. I want us to realize that most criticism is unfounded. It is not based on scripture. It is not based on right and wrong. It is generally based on our opinion, our perception, our preferences, our prejudices about others. But it is not based on any true factual reason. True factual reason. If the issue had a biblical basis and our intent was right, we would go to the person out of love, as the Bible instructs us to do, and we would speak to them directly. A while back, someone visited this church about 3 times. And they appeared to be a church hopper, because they had attended several other AG churches and other churches in the area before coming here. And they also had issues there. And after 3 times, the woman decided that because I'm single, I must be involved in sexual immorality. And so instead of speaking to me about her concerns, she decided to speak to other people. Thankfully, one of the ladies she spoke to was a mature woman of God who has known me for over 20 years and knows the purity of life that I walk in. Amen. And so the lady that she spoke to told her, I know her for over 20 years. She's not like that, this, that, and the other, and went on and on. But the woman would not be appeased in any way by what she said. And so this mature woman of God came to me and said, Pastor Maria, I think you need to know what's going on with this individual. And thankfully, she spoke to me. And so I decided to call and confront this lady with as much grace as I could get at that moment. Hallelujah. And when I called her, I told her, I said, I'm not calling you to convince you to come to church. I said, why I'm calling you is to let you know that your critical spirit is sinful before God. And I want to be careful before you move from this church to another church and go destroy some other pastor's reputation, that you know that what you're doing is sin. And boy, she was aghast that somebody had confronted her. And I explained to her certain things about the purity of life that I walk in, and that she had no basis for her accusation. And I told her, I said, you have no godly intentions, or you would have come personally to me and spoken to me about your concerns. And when I said that, she said, I know, the devil just put that thought in my mind. I said to her, if you knew the devil put it in your mind, I said, then why didn't you just rebuke it the moment he put it in your mind? What do? The devil puts a thought in your mind and you entertain it? Church, it's devilish to have those kinds of critical thoughts, or any kind of critical thought, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So Satan is at the root of criticism, because he is the one filling your heart to be critical of others, whether it's a pastor or anyone else. He is at the root of criticism. You've got to be careful to guard your heart against the influence of darkness. Now, remember the definition of a critical spirit, a pattern of thinking developed over time that takes a decidedly negative perspective, focusing on the real or perceived faults of others with no intent to help them. A critical spirit. No intent to help. It's not like, I've observed this about you and I'm coming to you in love because I care about you and I've been praying for you. And no, nothing like that. A critical spirit just says, I think this about this person, I think that about that person, and I'm going to tell others about it. There's no desire to help, to edify, to encourage, to lift up. And there's a lot of people in church, not this church, I know, because this church is perfect. So it's got to be a church down the street. But just like there was a lot of people in Israel criticizing, there's a lot of people in church doing the same thing. Now, our criticism of others points to the faults within ourselves. The real reason for Miriam and Aaron's criticism had nothing to do with Moses' wife. Their true motive is expressed in verse 2. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? Moses, Aaron, and Miriam had initially been the leadership team in Israel. Just the three of them, they had been the leadership team. But just before this incident, the burden of leading Israel had become too great. It was over 2 million people. The burden of leading Israel had become too great for Moses. And when Moses cried out to God, God instructed Moses to choose 70 elders. And God would put his spirit upon those 70 elders. And that they would help Moses to lead Israel or to judge Israel. So now what's happening is the leadership team is expanding. And Miriam and Aaron are feeling threatened. They're feeling threatened. Their authority is being diminished because it's being spread out among other people. And they don't like the changes. Folks, our flesh naturally resists change. So they begin to voice their displeasure. What's so special about Moses? Is he the only one that God talks to? Hasn't God also spoken through us? And you can just hear the pride and the jealousy in their heart. First, they called into question his decision-making ability by choosing a Cushite wife. And now they move to undermine his authority because their intent is to elevate themselves. We're on the same level as Moses. God talks to us as well, is what they're saying. And criticism always seeks to elevate itself by tearing others down. D.J. Arnold said, if Miriam were in the average local church today, she would be a heroine. She would not be condemned but praised as a leader really interested in the work of the Lord, really concerned about how things are going in the church. He said, Christians tolerate gossip, critical spirits, vicious maligning when God hates all sins of the tongue. He went on to say, what comes out of our mouths really tells what is in our hearts. If we gossip and speak critically of others, we know our hearts are a cesspool of evil. And we may be sitting there and saying, I'm safe. I'm not critical. But you know what? I've found over the years that there are certain people that they know every negative thing that's going on, everything somebody's saying about somebody else, everything somebody's saying about the pastor and everything. And I just have to wonder, how is it they hear all of those things? Because you know what? When there's a garbage can there and it says garbage on it, you know where to throw your garbage. So there are certain people who are the garbage throwers. They are the criticizers. And there are certain people who are the garbage cans. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So we are guilty of criticism, whether we're the one speaking it or we're the one entertaining it. Hallelujah. We need to guard our spirit. Then let's look at the indictment against a critical spirit. Let's look at the rebuke of the Lord. The end of verse 2 says, and the Lord heard this. You might whisper your criticism behind someone else's back. They may never know that you said it. But God hears it. God hears it. In verse 4 it says, God summoned Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And he confronts Miriam and Aaron with their sin. God knows who is involved in criticism. And he's going to call them out. He's going to call them out. It's awful quiet in here. When God confronts us, his intent is not to destroy us, but to draw us back to himself in repentance. And it apparently worked, because in verse 11, Aaron cries out for mercy to Moses, the very one that he was just involved in criticizing. But he turns to Moses because he knew that Moses was a man of prayer, that Moses was an intercessor. And he says, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. And he's pleading with Moses. Basically, what he's pleading with Moses is to intercede before God for him, because there were several times before, and Aaron was witness to it, where God wanted to destroy Israel. And what did Moses do? Moses interceded on their behalf, and God turned his judgment away. So he's saying, Moses, please intercede for us. You know, and it's because he knew that Moses was a man of God, that he knew that Moses was an intercessor, the very person he had been criticizing. You know, several years ago, there was a lady who had spread some garbage in the church about me, and she moved away. And then her son went through a very difficult trial. And out of the blue, she called the office one day, and she said, Pastor Maria, I need to talk to you. And she said, I know what I did, and she began confessing all that she did, and she said, I'm so sorry for that. She said, but I know that you're a woman of God, and that you're an intercessor. And I need you to pray for my son. You know, the very person that she was criticizing, just like the very person that Aaron was criticizing. And yet underneath it all, Aaron knew that Moses was a man of God, a man that was an intercessor, and a man that got hurt. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? And so it really turned. The judgment of God really turned Aaron to seek the Lord. And he recognized Moses' authority, Moses' anointing, and Moses' calling. He calls him my Lord, a term of respect. And so his whole attitude towards Moses has now changed. And he confessed his sin. He says, do not hold this sin against us. So God's judgment, when it comes in the house of God, does not come to destroy, but it comes to call us to repentance. Of course, if we do not repent, then we will suffer the full brunt of God's judgment. And then we want to see the removal of the Lord's presence. In verses 9 through 10, it says, the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. What does that mean? God's presence was removed from Miriam and Aaron until they later repented. It says the cloud lifted from above the tent. This was a visible departure of God's presence, which signifies that sin separates us from God. Folks, when you have a critical spirit, it will quench the Spirit of God in your life. You will find yourself in a spiritual desert, a spiritual wilderness where your soul is barren and dry. And you'll be coming and you'll be asking people, oh, pray that God will just refresh me. Oh, pray that God will just restore. Well, you can't find any refreshing and any restoration until you first repent of that critical spirit. But sometimes that is not even on our radar. As to why, sometimes we'd be rebuking the devil. Oh, devil, I rebuke you. I know you're the source of my dryness of soul. Look a little bit closer to home. Just stand right in front of the mirror. And maybe what you need to do is rebuke what you see. Oh, hallelujah. A lot of times it's our own critical spirit while we're going through that dryness, while we're going through that barren place. And then in verse 15, it tells us that because of this sin of criticism, it delayed Israel from moving forward for 7 days until Miriam could be cleansed. Which shows us that sin hinders our growth. Sin hinders our progress in the Lord. It hindered Miriam. She was infected with leprosy and had to wait 7 days for her cleansing when finally God healed her because of their repentance. It hindered Aaron. It cost him the presence of God for a period of time, and he had to remain in the camp for 7 days. It hindered all of Israel because they could not move forward for 7 days until Miriam was cleansed. What does that tell us? It tells us that criticism infects others and it costs others. So what it tells us is you not only have to guard yourself from speaking criticism, you need to guard yourself from listening to criticism because it will cost you the presence of God and it will keep you from progressing spiritually in the Lord, just listening to the criticism. Come on now. This is Word. This is not Pastor Maria. This is the in living color before us, telling us what happened. And then we see the revelation of guilt. Leprosy cannot be hidden. Leprosy is, you know, if you have cancer, people can't tell. If you have diabetes, people can't tell. If you have heart disease, people can't tell by just looking at you. I mean, unless you're, you know, in the latter stages. But if you have leprosy, people can tell just by looking. First, your skin turns white, and eventually it disfigures, eating off your extremities. It's a very obvious disease. It says in verse 10, Aaron saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And the horrible, disfiguring nature of this disease shows the horrible nature of sin in God's sight. That's what God thinks about sin. God didn't just give her a headache because she was critical. Oh, I'll just zap you with a little headache and you can move. God didn't give her the flu. Come on now. It was leprosy, a serious, incurable, terminal disease for criticism. Yeah, criticism isn't all that, people say. It's all that to God. It's all that to God. And leprosy in the Bible times was not just a physical disease, but it was understood to be a sign of the curse of God upon someone's life. God wanted to make it visible to all of Israel that, and to us, that he condemns a critical spirit. Wow. If God did that today, I wonder how many people in church would be walking around with leprosy. Ooh. Mercy. Now, as high priest, it was Aaron's duty to judge Miriam's leprosy. Because in the Old Testament times, if someone was leprous, it was the high priest that pronounced them unclean or pronounced them clean, so that they could be restored to fellowship with God and restored to fellowship with the community of God. But Aaron could not pronounce Miriam unclean without condemning himself, because he had been party to the sin of criticism. They were both guilty. You know, in Romans 2:1, it tells us that when we recognize the fault or sin in someone else, we condemn ourselves. Wow. Because it means that we know the truth, and because we know the truth, we are guilty before God. You know better, because you're saying, I know and I condemn this person and I think that person is doing wrong and that person is doing wrong. Well, you know better? You're doing wrong. Come on now, folks. Let's get real. It's no use playing games in church. Can't play games with God. You may be able to play games with people for a time, but you can't play games with God. Moses might have not known what was going on with Aaron and Miriam, but God knew. God knew. When you judge someone else, you condemn yourself, because you're saying, I know. And even though you know, you're doing wrong. You're doing wrong. Let's look at the restoration of the Lord. Moses, the very one that they had criticized, interceded for Miriam's healing. And this shows Moses' response. Moses' response to their criticism showed the righteousness of his own heart. Let me tell you something. God will always vindicate the righteous. It may take a time. And when you're the one under attack, it may be painful. But like David, we say, I stand in my integrity and the Lord will vindicate me. And let me tell you something. By Moses' response, he was vindicated because he was shown to be righteous. Because if he was not righteous, he would have been in there slicing and dicing and saying, see, I told you, see, you deserve, you got what you deserve. But the righteousness of his heart was manifested in the fact that he interceded for them. He prayed for God's judgment to be turned aside. But despite Moses' intercession, God required Miriam to be disciplined for her sin. But in his mercy, the leprosy would not be fatal. After 7 days, she would be restored. Folks, when we repent, in God's mercy, he does forgive sin. But there are always consequences. Consequences for our actions. that do not simply go away because we say, I repent. The guilt of our sin goes away, but the consequences of our sin do not instantly go away. But thank God in His mercy that our failures are not final. They are not fatal. He is a God of mercy who intervenes on our behalf and who brings restoration. You know, the only cure for a critical spirit is to have a heart filled with God's love. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8 that love covers a multitude of faults. When you're walking in love, you're not constantly criticizing others for their faults. And when you're walking in love, that's proof that you have a relationship with God. Because the Bible tells us that when we love God, it is manifested in our love towards one another. And if we love one another, our love covers a multitude of faults, so we won't have a critical spirit. Now walk that backwards. If you have a critical spirit, it's because you don't love one another. And if you don't love one another, it means that you don't love God. 1 John 4, you can read it for yourself. Come on now, folks. You know, because we dismiss these things. We have, oh, it's just a little bit of criticism. It's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal. And God showed us how big of a deal it is by striking Miriam with leprosy. It's a big deal in the sight of God because it gets back to the heart of our relationship with God. We take things so lightly in the church today. Because we have lost what is called the fear of God. Later this year, I'm going to be teaching a series on the fear of the Lord. We have lost the fear of God. And so we keep on doing things that are sinful, harboring attitudes in our heart that are wrong before God. And we show up in church every Sunday. Hallelujah. We sing, I surrender all. We didn't surrender anything. We just mouthing the words. Just mouthing the words. And we don't know that God's seeing it all. And folks, your judgment day may not be today as it was for Miriam. But you can be very sure God is going to call you out. The pastor may not know and the pastor may not call you out, but God is going to call you out. The Bible tells us there's nothing that can be hidden. Nothing that can be hidden from Him. Folks, if you're looking for faults in other people, you'll find them. If you're looking for faults in your pastor, you'll find them. If you're looking for faults in your church, you'll find them. Because no one and no church is perfect. But if you love God, your love for God will be manifested in your love for others. And that means that you will not be focusing on the imperfections or faults of others. Because you recognize that you yourself are imperfect. And that God loved you in spite of your imperfections. We need to search our hearts and be honest. If we have been guilty of criticism. If we have been guilty of a critical spirit. A pattern of negative thinking about others. Focusing on the faults of others, whether they're real or perceived. And we need to come before God in repentance. And we need to ask God for His forgiveness before we end up in a situation like Miriam. We need to ask God to cleanse our hearts. And if we have been the listening ear to criticism, just like Aaron, we are as guilty as the critical party. So let us come before God and let us repent and say, God, forgive me. Cleanse my spirit of criticism and help me to have your heart of love towards others. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and we are so grateful to you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. because your word instructs us in righteousness, and your word is life to those who receive it, Lord God. So this morning, we want to receive your word with an open heart, because we know it will bring life to us, Lord God. To reject your word will bring death, but to receive it will bring life. So we open our hearts to your word this morning, and we allow the Holy Spirit to take your word and to convict our hearts, Lord God, and to show us whether we have been the instigator of criticism or the receiver of criticism. And Father, if we have been either, we come before you this morning in a spirit of repentance, and we say, have mercy on us, forgive us, and cleanse our spirit, an attitude of criticism, and fill our hearts with your love towards others. In Jesus' name.